Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, and we've got another exciting guest. We've got Sonia Barrett, and she's the author of The Holographic Canvas, The Fusing of Mind and Matter, published in 2008. Her insights are cutting edge, with much of it supported by quantum physics, and her work bridges the gap between science, spirituality, in a simplistic format. She addresses the programming beliefs, concepts, which we have lived our lives both individually and collectively. These insights provide clarity in understanding the paradox of both the real and the unreal, the visible, the invisible components of reality. The holographic experience is known for her mind-bending concepts and stretches the mind even further, going beyond the common view of time. She's got quite a few things going on right now. She's got the businessofdisease.com. She's got timelinepublishing.com. And I know she's got all kinds of movies and books and other things in the works. So without any further ado, I want to introduce Sonia to us. Sonia, are you with us?
Yeah, define with us. No.
Good question.
Yeah, I am. Thank you so much.
I gave up coffee, so I might be a little slow this morning. I'm just getting over giving up coffee. So,
yes, thank you so much for having me on your show. It's always a pleasure to dialogue with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got a lot of new things coming up on the books here. Can you cover what the latest things that you're working on?
Well, you know, some of this stuff is not the latest. I've been working on it for a while. It's the pregnant elephant. I've been pregnant for several years, I feel like, with this film project, The Business of Disease. And, of course, that's on the businessofdisease.com website. And, you know, yes, finally, after all this time, this film is going to be basically previewed in Ohio, and unfortunately I don't have the information in front of me, but it's going to be on the website. It'll be previewed through Sherry Edwards, who's in the film. She deals with bioacoustics, and there's a conference that Sound Health, her organization, is putting on, and so there will be a preview of the film. I think it's May 24th. So if you're interested, you can, you know, check that out, or, you know, go to the website or call me, or either way, we'll get that information to you. Mm-hmm. So that's coming up, and then the book will also be out at the end of the month as well. There's a book that goes with the film, and it's called Health, an Inside Job and Outside Business. And it's a chapter written by basically pretty much everyone in the film. And it really is going to be an awesome, I think, supplement to the film. And of course, you know, the film is different. It talks about pharmaceutical companies and what's being done. But at the same time, it's bringing a much more cutting edge, I would say, concepts to in terms of health. And I think we've heard a lot of what's going on and what's being done to us, but now we need to understand the science of the body, which is what the film gets into, is the science of the body and the healing process, and cutting edge technology such as I can't even think of it now, like bioacoustics that Sherry does, along with some other things. Mm-hmm. So, I am definitely looking forward to having it come out and having people go and look at it and the book and so on. So you can always go to the website once again. And what else? Oh, and then I have a new book that came out month before that, A Journey of Possibilities. And basically, A Journey of Possibilities what I did was I wrote so many articles that people found amazing over the years that I basically pulled them all together. So it's about, it's like 200 a little over 200 pages of you know, articles with just very rich content. So I've had a lot of great reviews on it. Let's see. Well, let me give you the tagline, actually, the subtitle. Are those possibilities restricted by the systems design and programs? Who controls the game? So the book kind of brings all of that together. My regular website, of course, is spiritinform.com. If anybody wants to go there to find out more information, you know, obviously lots of DVDs and CDs and so on are there, and updates on anything else that I'm doing. I don't think I covered everything, but I think those are the main topics at this time. I'm doing the conference. I'm going to the conference at the ranch.
The Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference at the end of June. That's going to be fun hanging out here. And maybe we can do a premiere here as well. We'll see if we can find a slot for that.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah, that'd be great. It'd
be very nice.
A great addition to the venue there. It's getting interesting here. I've been coming across these just phenomenal technologies, and I can't even mention the guy's name, but I just went through some oxygen therapies where I actually stood in a chamber that had seven different types of oxygen in it, and an oxygen bath with crystallized oxygen in it, and then a magnetic light table. And there's other technologies I've been finding out lately too. I just became privy to some like plasma technologies and things like that, where they're actually reversing the disease and going back to the pattern when you were healthy, and repatterning the cells, you know, from that from that level. There's such amazing technologies coming out, and I can't wait to see these things actually hit, you know, the marketplace where they become available to everybody.
And I think then this is the time, because I think that's, you know, that's what the healthcare bill, this whole healthcare system doesn't really want people to discover these things. And, you know, and that's why it doesn't really get mentioned much. We don't hear the president promoting, you know, alternative methods, you know, how to take care of yourself. The only thing that's been promoted is making sure that you go sign up for healthcare because you don't want to be penalized. People are so distracted by that. They're so caught up in the whole hype of making sure they're not penalized, as opposed to going, well, wait a second, you know. And even those people who never used insurance before and maybe, you know, operated based on alternative means. And I think, you know, we really have to stop and look at that. You know?
Yeah, my grandmother said, you know, the best advice you could give me is to stay out of the courts and the hospitals, you know.
Absolutely. If you want to be well emotionally and physically.
That's
true.
Yeah, because they both are pretty dysfunctional. But, yeah, I wrote a little thing once, an email, I put it out. I said, "Is here my Obamacare program. Was A, get rid of the chemtrails, B, get rid of Monsanto, C, you know, get rid of all the toxins in the water, you know, the 650 to 850 toxins in the drinking water. And, you know, D, bring out the fuelless energy, get rid of these gas belching things, you know, and then bring out, you know, organic, clean organic food, you know, food should be your medicine. And they don't cover any of this. They're the cause of why everybody's sick, and the
You won't be president. Let's just put it that way. You're not gonna win.
Well, a good friend of mine said, you know, why run for office when you can buy several of them? You know, it's like it's a lot cheaper to just buy several politicians than run for office. You know, so.
Oh yeah, well that's basically it. It is pretty crazy though, but you know, none of those things are mentioned. It's just like everybody's just running around worried about getting health care. And it's like, do you even know why? I mean, are you even thinking? Well, you know, and one of the things that we do talk about in the film is, of course, the fact that, you know, the whole idea of health care from this perspective is being so pushed. And it's because they know that you're going to need it, because they have already pushed pharmaceuticals and all this over-the-counter crap on you, and then the environment, the violation of the environment and the foods, they already know that you're going to be ripe for healthcare.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why they're trying to tell you, get it ahead of time because we've got a lot planned.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're going to help you clean up the mess we made, yeah, you know, with more mess.
We're going to help you make use of that. So don't worry, yeah, you're okay. So, you know, you, if you're paying for it, not to worry. We're going to make sure that you need to use it.
Yeah, it's like going to the wolf to complain about the coyote, you know, that ate your chickens. It's like, and the wolf goes, so where are your chickens at?
let me check that out for you.
Yeah, we'll take care of that. Don't worry about it. You know,
we'll take care of that. Now you don't have any chickens to worry about.
Yeah.
But, it is pretty crazy. I think every day when you think that the game couldn't get any more just wild, it doesn't really surprise you, but there's so much coming at you. I think just anybody, all human beings, there's so much coming at you. And of course, some people have their eyes closed, so they don't really see much of what's coming until it hits them.
Yeah.
You know, but for the rest of us, we're looking on and dodging, you know, flying, you know, debris. It is pretty wild.
I know a while back they had the government shut down again. They're telling me that, are you freaking out? The government shut down. I go, what government? It's out here. We wouldn't know anything. And if we didn't have the internet, we wouldn't be aware of anything because we're pretty sovereign out here.
But that's good.
Yeah, we're out in the middle of nowhere. So
That's good. I mean, you know, yeah. Because the game is very demanding. It's very demanding. It pulls your energy because people are so invested as well in the maintenance of the game without realizing that they are invested in sustaining the game. The very things that they think they're doing to stop things is the very thing that supports the game most of the time. Mm-hmm. These are savvy players, you know, those that have been running the game. They've been doing it for such a long time. It's like somebody who's been working the same corporate job for like 40 years. You know the job inside out. You could do it in your sleep. Well, these guys have been doing this for such a long time that it's very, very easy to continue to pull the wool over people's eyes. And although, you know, we do hear it's sad, you know, people are waking up, and I think to some degree people are waking up, but the game is so big that I think most people would be so overwhelmed and so dizzy if they really saw just what's going on.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's like the deeper you go. I like that one thing. It says if you're not a bumper sticker says if you're not pissed off, you're not paying attention.
And that's true. The deeper you go.
Yeah. And you just go, oh my God, when you really see what's going down here and how basically the war and disease profiteers are running the country. And then we wonder how come we never have peace, you know, and how come we don't have the cure for disease and, you know, why we don't have fuelless energy when we have the oil companies running everything. You know, it's pretty obvious. And I don't know when people are going to get the big aha that, as long as these guys, these major corporations are running the country, you know, we aren't going to have peace and we aren't going to have the cure for disease and we aren't going to have, you know, fuelless energy technology. And until we stand up as a whole and just say, you know what, we're done and demand these things come forward.
Absolutely. And the reason why that doesn't happen is because most people are running on misinformation and disinformation and so programmed from, you know, from even their parents or several generations back, and they're stuck in a certain thought process. And some people just really don't want to see to that extent. Mm-hmm. Their response is, what am I going to do about it? So there's a lot of people with that kind of response that, and that makes you basically just sort of block, you know, yet you're in the middle of it. You are in the mix of it. You are the very reason why it exists, because you do nothing And so you know, they have to have pawns. You can't, you know, it doesn't matter how good they are. If you have no one, if you have no little soldiers, or if you have nobody, you're playing a chess game, and you have no pieces, you can't play. You have nothing to move around on the board. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole idea. If there's nothing to move around on the board, then there is no game. But there are always going to be people that are accommodating of this behavior, and so there'll always be people to move around on the board.
Yeah, I was watching some really old movies, and I was going, wow, they had all this information in there. You know, they were showing the hierarchy, and it went up the levels into some pretty dark demonic things, uh-huh. And I go, boy, they're trying to give us this message a long time ago, and, uh-huh. You know, we didn't see it, but, you know, it's just amazing. I kind of have a interesting, I think we're going to go through some really interesting times here in the next few months, actually, but because it seems like these higher energies are pressing in intensely, and the old guard is trying to hang on, doing all they can, but they're getting exposed right and left, you know, of the game is being exposed, you know, because of work like that you're doing and a lot of others are doing out there. So I'm wondering, I don't know what you feel, but this all seems to be heading towards a big crescendo.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the crescendos are sort of like, some of it is like a little aftershocks, and some of it is, you know, like the big ones. And I think that even in that sense, the subtlety of those crescendos, if crescendo can be subtle, but I think it's because of how people are programmed that there are things that they don't even notice that is happening. Even if there's a big crescendo,
yeah,
there's something that distracts them away from seeing that the bridge is falling, you know?
Oh yeah.
So they don't really see that this is where we are, so that they can, I don't know, somehow affect that process. Instead, they get distracted, and in the meantime, those, you know, where the bridge fell, those who are in charge, they get to find a way to camouflage gluing it back together.
Exactly.
it's like just glue it back together. They won't know that it's just glued together with flour and a little flour paste.
So it falls down again. Yeah.
Exactly.
I wanted to use an analogy. It's a little off the subject with the UFO subject. I noticed that for 60 years, they've been brainwashing people that UFOs don't exist. Right. You know, they started back engineering the technology ever since Roswell, even before that. And so there was a massive effort to, you know, belittle and ridicule and actually, you know, life-threatening situations where it was terminal. You know, they terminated quite a few people to keep this thing a secret. But what's interesting is if you go back in the past, you know, the frescoes all have UFOs in them. All the ancient cultures knew about UFOs. They're in the...
Right. And the Bible.
Yeah, they're in the Bible, the Vedic scriptures. You go to South America or any other country, they go, oh, yeah, they just accept it. But I noticed because of that programming that some people, you start to talk to them about UFOs, you go, yeah, we see them all the time. We've been filming them for years. And they just get this blank look on their face like
something's wrong with you.
Like nobody home. No, I mean, they just go blank. Yeah. And you go, wow, how did that get created? How did that blank stare? And you've probably seen that too when you start saying, hey, there is a cure for this and that. And people just all of a sudden, they just go blank. You know,
it's like they either short circuit, I call it, or their programming doesn't allow for, you know, it's just not allowing of hearing that. Mm-hmm. I really think that something like that actually kind of happens. It's just not accommodating. There is no reference point that will allow them to process that kind of understanding or information. Mm-hmm. I really think that's what happens. But yeah, that's the thing. I think the idea that we could be we're the only ones. It's real strong in a lot of people. No different than somebody who says they're a diehard Republican or Democrat, yeah. And you know, they're just diehard. They don't even know why, but they just are. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's the same thing with some of these people. They believe that that's what it is. Why wouldn't the government tell us? I love when people say stuff like that. Why would our government not tell us? You're just like, are you serious right now? You think that the government system really just has your best interest at heart? Okay. That's what they think, though. I don't understand why they would do something like that. I just don't see them doing that. Oh, okay.
We have to all give right. them a reason, you know. You know, whoever has the best technology in war usually wins the war. Whoever owns the skies, you know, wins the war. So basically, that's the reason, you know, why they wouldn't tell you, because, you know, they're hoarding that technology.
Yeah, and it is. It's there's just some major, I think, things that go on. And of course, you know, in my work, I've tried to break it down in the sense of even the idea of technology, so that people move away from this very woo-woo perception or definition of technology. And I think they need to realize that everything is based on various levels of technology. I mean, the whole universe, there's a cosmic technology in place. And I think people need to understand that the whole human design, your whole structure, your body, your planet, the planets, you know, there is a greater technology. And I look at technology as, it's the formation of energy into whatever form pattern it takes, whatever formula that whoever it is able to come up with to create or design something, some sort of concept, idea, you know. And I think when we start understanding, you know, that, it then there won't be this fear of it not being in that woo-woo place, especially when you connect it with people's religious beliefs and God. And I think that has something to do with it too, because of that, the woo-woo concepts about God and whoever this being they have in their heads. You know, they can't put that word technology and God together. It just can't.
But
yet God created everything. So I know. I'm confused.
Yeah, you try to run omnipresence by them, and you know they just can't wrap their head around it. What I see is like baby steps. You know, I was talking to this one guy, and I said, you know, you could run your car on water. That technology's been around for a long time. You know, and they go, what? No way. And I go, yeah. And I said, you know what? You also don't even, you know, you could put an electric engine in that thing, and they have energy generators. You know, you could run the tires off it. And they go, what? You know, you're kidding. And I go, no. And if you want to go further than that, you don't even need tires. You know, we've had anti-gravity and counter-gravity forever. And then you go, you want to go one step beyond that? Well, we've got jump rooms. You know, you don't even need your vehicle. You could just jump from here to there. But all that technology exists. It's been around for a while. Right. Like, where is it? And you know, you try to tell people this, and they can't even put their head around a car could run on water.
And it's crazy, because just the fact of look at all the shows that are out. Where do you think these sci-fi shows and movies are coming from? Where do you think that, you know, I'm always saying, look, this stuff is coming from somewhere, either in a human being, in the psyche of a human being. We are connecting to something. So even if the technology was not there, it's going to be there. The mere fact that we even imagined an idea or concept into even a film. And of course, you know, we know a lot of those writers on that big level, what their connections are as well. So people need to look at that. Is all these films that are coming out and television shows like Continuum, you know, and what was the other? The Tomorrow People. You know, these are shows that are constantly trying to show you there is something more about human beings or there's something more about even the physical technology besides the biological technology of the human vehicle or the human self. So just even opening our eyes, you know, to that whole idea.
Yeah, I like what my brother says a lot of times. He always says technology is a failure of spirituality. And you really think about it, like a cell phone replaced telepathy, you know, all these things, you know, there's the potential for us to bilocate. And I know people that are doing it. I've had it happen to me
a couple times.
All of these things we could do without technology, but, we've chosen, you know, to do these technologies. But the way I see it, you know, we could actually wash our own clothes, you know, but if we got a nice machine that'll do it for us, you know, it frees our time and energy up. We can just throw it in the machine and take care of it.
Well, everything is part of the experience, I think. So I think I come at it from the angle of not chastising, for example, the technology that, you know, we end up using instead of the activation of the technology of the human, you know, body or the human or the being, you know. So I think that is definitely a technology that can be activated to bypass much of, you know, the external technology then. Mm-hmm. But I think that as being part of the human game, I think those are components that need to happen. However, I think that there is that point though, when you, myself, people like us that are in an awareness of the fact that we should be able to do these things. And we sort of wake up from that. We still use those technologies, but we use it with an awareness that we ultimately will bypass these things. And I think that is the difference between the people that think that those technologies are their absolute way out, as opposed to those who understand that right now, this is what I'm using at this time until I move into that space and I begin to bypass these external technologies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like it's pretty clear that our spirituality or our empathy and things of that nature have fallen far behind our technology, and that's a scary thing. In my context with advanced off-worlders, they said that their spirituality is and their technology work hand in hand, and they could levitate before they had anti-gravity, and they could telepathy, and they don't have you know, everybody goes, how do they communicate? Well, you know, they go, you know, they're still using radio waves to try to find these guys. Why would they be using a radio? They're billions of years, you know, thousands and millions of years ahead of us.
Yeah, we're behind.
Yeah. So why when thought travels instantaneously, why would they be using radio? They would have either a technology that mimics that, or they would just be telepathic, and they could communicate with anyone anywhere in the universe instantaneously.
Absolutely, and I think again, if people were better educated on, like what you just mentioned, like on energy, on even a radio, understanding, you know, more about the bandwidths or radio waves or sound. And, you know, if people were a bit more educated, like, you know, in school, kids, and it wouldn't be such a leap for them to get how all of that could work. Like when you're talking about the car running on water and remembering that water is a conduit for electricity. I mean, when you start wrapping your mind around all of these concepts, these basic scientific principles, then you could start seeing, oh, how certain things could be possible. But they don't even go there because their religious beliefs either don't allow it, or some people just shut off and just think, well, you know, it's just ridiculous for no real reason other than to say that makes no sense. So I think that education is so important along those lines.
Well, you have the scientism too, and you have the recycled ignorance that people are taught in most schools, unfortunately. And yeah, it'd be nice to have a real education. I would love to see a school that just took the lid off and brought, you know, all the real history, the real archaeology, you know, the real science, the real healing technologies.
Oh, yeah.
And
we're just, it's not new.
Yeah, we're cutting just right on the cutting edge of everything, because what I've seen that's out there and the possibilities are just mind-boggling. And when you know that's available and you see what's available to mainstream, you know, it breaks my heart, because, you know, some of the stuff that I've seen and experienced, unfortunately, the scientists are kind of like almost in hiding, or they can't bring these things out right now.
That's
very sad. And I find it really sad that, you know, I've been privy to some of these things and technologies that actually have saved my life, but I can't do anything to get it out there to the masses.
No,
you know, it's like,
yeah, it's timing.
Yeah,
it is timing. And I think that, you know, like you said earlier, I really feel that we are a little bit, we are more primitive than we think.
Yeah,
we really are. We're even when I get on an airplane, and this always fascinated me, but whenever I fly, it always feels so prehistoric to me. There's something about it that just feel very just a little bit archaic, and yet I'm getting on there. I have to get on there because I think that part, there's a part of you, when I think those things come up, there's that more expansive part of you that's like calling you, that's like reminding you of a capability, you know. And I think it's stirring something in you, because let's face it, even though we may understand a lot of this stuff, we are also affected by the programming out that's been, you know, spread across the collective. To some degree, we are affected by that, because the only reason why maybe we don't levitate or we don't naturally do these things, obviously is what I'm saying, is because of the programming. There is that programming, that base programming, that tells us what we can and cannot do in reference to, I think, even the laws of physics. Mm-hmm. So I think we're all up against that and doing our best, those who are aware, to begin to open ourselves up and allow that part of the brain to get the message that, look, we are ready. We can remove that program now, that block that says this is not possible. Those are programs. The only thing that restrict us from, I think, a true activation, you know, the spirit wants us to do that, but a true activation is the programs that we have of the impossibilities and what we are told is possible. So we have restrictive programs.
Mm-hmm. It does seem to be just the collective consciousness, whatever you're going to call it, the grid, you know, that social consciousness, that whole grid. My feeling is that
that's a good word.
Yeah, higher beings right now are working on that grid, and that grid is just collapsing, and the Earth is evolving into a new place in time and space, and she's ascending, you know, in her process. And I just see this whole grid right now just being torn apart, and all these huge breakthroughs are just shattering it. And if we as a people can stand up and get behind the people that are on the cutting edge, you know, of these healing technologies and fuelless energy and other things, that you know, we can push through this and create a whole new world, you know, a utopia.
Yeah, and you're right. And the again, you know, just going back to the whole healthcare idea, it's almost like, you know, a race against the clock. To continue to remind people of what they are not or what they cannot do. And so I think that the whole healthcare, fighting for healthcare is really a huge distraction. And it's possible, could it be because you know, maybe they know what's coming or what's up, and you want to get as many sheeples as possible, you know, to throw the scales off or something.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I can figure.
Well, I know they even have a chipping program in that, and supposedly I've seen on YouTube, and I don't know if you can't believe everything on YouTube, but they are chipping some people and tell them they're not going to get their benefits unless they get this chip. And
oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, and it seems like that's the direction that they're trying to go. And, you know, and we've all known, heard about the Mark of the Beast and that program. But
I don't think it's even hard to fathom. And the only reason why I say that is because they were chipping for other things anyway. So mm-hmm. I don't, you know, that and this wasn't something that I overheard. I remember it's got to be at least 10 years ago, watching television, never forget it, and this commercial came on Nickelodeon, and the little girl said, I am the first to, one of the first to receive a chip with all my information, medical information. I swear I was just like, oh my God, you know, behold a pale horse when that book came out a while back. I'm like, oh my God, Bill, this is what is happening. So I remember seeing this commercial and I saw it twice. I don't watch Nickelodeon. I was flipping channels if my grandson was over there, but, So it did show up. So I personally saw that. So if indeed they were doing that and they were doing it to pets as well, why would it be so far-fetched then?
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, it's like chemtrails in cartoons now. You know, they're putting chemtrails in it and make them look like normal clouds, you know.
Wow. It's like, I haven't seen that. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. It's like, yeah, it blew me away. I went, what? You know, it's like...
Yeah, we gotta watch the cartoons. It's so interesting. But parents, you know, they put the kids. It's like, okay, well, you just want them out of our hair. But I think they know this. So there's a lot that's gonna slide by, that we won't pay attention to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It seems like
the kids get it.
Yeah, if you know the game and you know the agenda and you know where they're going, then you can see it very clearly. But if you're uneducated, you don't have a clue, you're just going to be like that frog in the pot, you know, as they just turn the heat up more and more and more, and pretty soon you're boiled and you didn't even know what happened.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, another commercial, too, that comes to mind, they look like the tangerines, and they were advertising them for a while with the kids, and they have no seeds. What are they called? They call Smiles, or there's a name that they have, but they were advertising them at one point and the kids were so excited. It's for, you know, it was mainly marketed to kids, but they're tangerines,
yeah,
but they have no seeds. And in the commercial, the kids were like promoting how they hate the seeds and they like it with no seeds. And I said to myself, oh my God, here is another subtle advertisement getting these kids to dislike finding seeds in their fruits, to a point where someday, if this all ends up going the way it's going, someday it will be very foreign to have seeds in your food. Very, very foreign to have seeds in much of these things. This was citrus, so it's easy to take them out of that, and watermelon. And so the kids were, you know, it's like they didn't grasp the concept that the seeds make it grow. And if we don't have seeds, we can't. But you know what I mean? It was like a whole coding of information that was attached to that commercial in terms of little children now looking at seeds as a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's incredible. I mean, I've seen a lot of programs like there. They're actually showing, in class, they're teaching people about, you know, like the chemtrails and the different types of clouds, and they're showing the chemtrails and trying to push them off as a natural cloud formation.
Yeah.
you know, you watch
all
these.
Naturally artificial.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, I've seen a lot of these things, and I go, oh, my God, they're really trying to do it. And, you know, I've heard, like, Monsanto's got some cartoons coming out now that are you know, going to push their products.
Wow, this is great. You buy that only for children you don't like.
Yeah, yeah. On Satan.
Oh, my God.
We did it. We did a major, I was involved in the Shaka movement over there when I was in Hawaii, and we organized a march that was amazing there, and it was like probably, they said 2,500, could have been 3,000 people marched against Monsanto, and they're getting a moratorium on them, and they have a clause in their constitution that says that If this harms the land, if thing harms the land, they have to prove that it's safe, that it's not harmful. The other way around, where we have to prove that it's harmful to stop it, they have to prove that it's not harmful. So that they can put a moratorium on it until they can come up with facts and figures on how this is not harmful. And they're doing, like, God, 150 plus different chemicals, you know, Roundups and pesticides and herbicides and experimenting over there. And it's blowing over schools. It's in their water. It's killing the reefs. I mean, they have all of this evidence about what's going on there. And so basically, I don't know how they can keep going, considering, you know, the educational process and the people rising up and that are just done with it. But, you know, it was just amazing watching the people. They had a huge theater there, where they had a rally and brought in speakers and things like that at this theater. And not only was a theater packed, they had to bring big screens outside for people sitting out on the grass and things so they could watch. And so, you know, that to me really felt great. Just, I mean, it brought tears to my eyes watching all the people there finally standing up and saying enough's enough. Yeah, that march was an incredible success. And I think that, you know, just seeing so many people get involved in that, I think that that's going to happen on many levels. I think people are waking up and starting to rise up and just saying enough's enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got to have that. You've got to have those people, excuse me, that do that. And I always find it interesting, you know, in traveling and going to the airport and seeing how many people will go through the scanner, but it takes one person. When you say, you know what, I want a pat down, suddenly you get more people that yeah, I want a pat down too. You know, yeah. But until somebody does it, people kind of just go right along through it. I remember one lady stood behind me. This is a while back, and I wasn't sure if that was the X-ray scanner deal, and I said, you know what, is that it? And I said, you know what, because I'm not going through that. I need to call somebody over here. She goes, well, I don't care, as long as I get on my flight on time. I don't care what I go through. I was like, okay, well, that's scrambling your brain, that's for sure.
Yeah. I was about ready to ask you that. When I know you fly a lot, I was wondering if you actually go through those devices.
I do. I go through the pat down.
Yeah, I do too. I always do. I just said, nope, not going to do it. Sorry, you know. And they go, well, it's no worse than a cell phone. I go, well, cell phones are bad enough.
I'm just like, you know, I'm always joking about it. I'm like, okay, so my choices are shoot a porn or get felt up.
Yeah.
These are my options.
Yeah.
Yeah, porn flick or, you know, so I, you know, luckily, and I think I had to change my thought process on even getting pat down. And I find that when I approach it in that way, where I don't approach it from a standpoint of they better not, you know.
Yeah.
The first time I remember I kind of was like intense like that, but when I go, you know what, it's going to be okay. And I get somebody who is nobody tries to be invasive. They just kind of tell me what they're going to do, and then they do it, and and it's fine. I don't have anything crazy going on. So that's kind of what I decided I was going to do. Since I wasn't going to do the x-ray thing, if I don't go to the doctor and deal with that, why am I going to the dang airport to get an x-ray? Why am I even going to do that?
Yeah.
So,
Well, between the x-ray machine at the airport and then being up in the sky at, 30,000 feet?
Yeah.
You know, you're already getting doused with all kinds of stuff. So it's a lot of airline pilots right now are retiring early. They said, you know, look, I don't want to be up in those chemtrails. I don't want to be subject to these huge solar winds, and I don't want to be dealing with these x-ray machines either.
Yeah. And you know what? And I think what would be so great, and I'm sure they'd still find a way because they control the freaking airspace. You know, if we had a whole different airline system where it was completely private, because they are not subject to the degree of insanity that we go through when you go, when you fly on a public, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to be able to have like our own, I swear, you know, to be able to have our own, even if it's just a couple of planes, a few planes, and build on that and just have a completely separate, system, and somebody really has researched the legalities of it, and no differently than, you know, the sovereign stuff, and you know what can and cannot be done, and you're able to just go to the dang airport, go to where the plane is, and get the heck up on the plane without getting undressed.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it'd be easy. You know, I mean, I can understand putting your bags through a thing. They can look at it, look for
right,
a weapon or a gun.
That.
You know, that's understandable, but my God, you know, it's like, and maybe a metal detector or whatever, or something else. I know that over in Israel, they use dogs more than anything, and they pretty much pick up anything, any kind of gunpowder or whatever, so.
That's fine. I mean, I don't have anything on me, but what about that lady with the breast milk? I mean, and she won that lawsuit, I think, recently, where she begged them not to. She didn't want to put her baby's milk through that thing and give it to her baby. It was breast milk. And they just ignored her. I mean, she was in tears.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, it was just crazy stuff. Just crazy.
Or little kids. I mean, when they start, you know, groping the little kids. And the little kids cry and go, who's this strange man? He's groping me. You know, it's like, and the mother has to stand there and watch it. I mean, to me,
that's disturbing.
That is really disturbing. I go, what are we teaching these kids that they have to be subjective to be groping all their lives now, and that strange men can come up and touch them whenever they want? You know, it's like,
it's there's a lot of distortion there.
And, women,
you know, the thing is that the people who make these rules, they don't really fly the regular airlines and stuff like we do, so their children don't have to experience that. You know, certainly the Obama girls don't have to go through any of that, you know, and whoever else, they don't have to to deal with that kind of insanity. Maybe eventually when they're out of office, they will eventually have to deal with it.
Yeah, they'll have to deal with everything they put. I think basic, if you want to straighten all this stuff out, is make all the politicians subject to the same rules as everyone else, and put them on the same health care programs, put them on insurance programs, all that stuff. And all this, it'll change really fast.
Yeah, well, yeah, but maybe quietly.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. It's not necessarily, you know, they might be on it, but they're not using it. They're going to go and quietly do whatever it is, you know, they do, all alternate methods.
Well, I know they have, you know, it's available to them, these other healing a lot of them have these incredible healing technologies.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at them and you go, why didn't this guy die? You know, why is this guy?
Yeah. And you very seldom hear of any of them dying like that. And I always mention, even with the royal family, you never hear of those people dying of cancer or anything like that. They never do.
Yeah.
Because they don't do what the common folks do. They, you know, whatever they're telling the commoners to do, they're not doing it. They're not telling, they're, what the slaves are doing, they're not doing it. Let's
exactly. They're doing the opposite. Yeah. And you know, I'm really praying that this unity consciousness wave does its thing that everybody's talking about, the ninth wave the Mayans speak of. But, you know, because, you know, I was over in Hawaii dealing with a lot of that sovereign movement there. And you know, there's three or four people there that all say they're the true king and they're trying to restore the kingdom and things like that. And one of the things I asked them, I said, well, how does the king fit into unity consciousness? And all of a sudden it just gets real quiet. It gets real quiet all of a sudden, and then even some anger starts coming up, and I go, well, it's just a question, you know. You know, it's like if we're all equal, we're all, you know, how does a king fit into a republic, you know? If we're trying to create a republic
you're asking the wrong questions. Those aren't questions.
Yeah.
They don't want you asking that and getting the sheeples to start thinking about it.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. Infect the rest of the sheeples.
Yeah. And I could see if you had a really enlightened king and a good king, maybe, you know, maybe some big changes could happen there. It can't be any worse than what's been going on now in government. But still, you always have that position there that can be abused and misused, and their offspring and whoever, you know, comes into that power next, you know, you just, you know, look at Korea.
And you said the word. That is what happens, though, is power. We are so, human beings are so hungry for control, power, just control, power, those two words. And so that's what happens. Even if they go in maybe with some slightly good intentions, the power, the fact that they have control and power, kind of they get infected,
yeah.
You know. And I think that's what happened. It's like they get infected. They're like nanobots are in there or something. I don't know.
Well, they seem to be given. You know, a lot of people really never really had a family. It's really dysfunctional and everything, and things aren't, you know. So they go, hey, come over here. We're going to give you a nice outfit, you know, with a cap and a badge. And we're going to give you a position. You're going to have authority. And we're going to put you over here. And all of a sudden, they become the very thing that suppressed them. It's amazing. You know, if you give somebody a position and an outfit and a badge or whatever, you know, they'll sell their mother down the road. You know, just for little green pieces of paper. And I think that, you know, we need to really rethink this process. Are we going to, you know, join the beast and become part of the system? Or are we going to step away and try something else?
Yeah, well, you know, it's the Borg thing again. I think Star Trek, I mean, that they had it right with that, with the Borg. Because that's kind of, you know, what you kind of see. And I think it is the Borg mentality. And people fall right in line with a lot of those things that are being, you know, projected out there for, mm-hmm. for them to participate in. And then operating independently is a little scary for people. Having their own choice idea separate from the majority is scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it too.
Well, I remember that episode where they went on the ship and they said, you know, they won't even recognize us because we're not part of the collective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, be part of the collective. It's true.
Yeah, and so they're walking all around the ship and nobody's mm-hmm. noticing them because they aren't part of the collective. And I thought that was quite fascinating.
Oh yeah, there's definitely a lot of truth to that.
Yeah.
You see that just driving down the street in terms of police officers and who sees you and who doesn't.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people are driving and they don't see you. They almost run into you, but they don't see your car.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of physics going on here as well, in the sense of, you know, where we are.
I mean, yeah.
Anyway, we could go into a whole other conversation on that, but I think consciousness, where we are in our consciousness, starts to make changes in the field as well, in terms of where we're operating and what's being seen and what's not being seen.
Yeah, I agree. You know, on that note, unfortunately, we've run out of time. So what's the best way that people can get in contact with you?
Best way is spiritinform.com, spiritinform.com. That's my main website, and you can click contact, and my contact information is there. Mm-hmm. But generally, yeah, you can just email me, soniabarr@yahoo.com. But spiritinform.com links you to everything that I'm doing and all my other websites.
Great.
As well.
Awesome. Hey, well, keep up the great work, and I can't wait to see you here at the end of June for the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference. And hopefully we can, I'm sure we can arrange a screening of your new movie, and I think we're going to have a blast.
Oh, I think so too. We're going to have fun.
Yeah. And if anybody else wants to find out more about that, just go to esetireservations@gmail.com, and you can find out more about the upcoming events here at our private ranch.
So, all right. Sounds good.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show, and have a good day.
Thank you so much, James. You too.
All right. This is James Gillen signing off with As You Wish Talk Radio. Have a great evening.